Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, we'll talk with David Fankhauser, who took part in the 1960s Freedom Rides to protest segregation. First up, there have been several system-wide failures of Cincinnati's 911 system in the past year or so. Most recently was in July when the system was down for 3.5 hours. And here to talk about these recent 911 system problems and the city's plans for the system are Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac, Cincinnati Councilmember Chris Seelbach, City of Cincinnati Department of Enterprise Technologies Solutions Chief Information Officer Jason Dunn, and Cincinnati Inquirer investigative reporter Sharon Coolidge. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And thanks to all of you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Sharon, let's start with you, Sharon, and you've been reporting on this. So how far back does this date, and how many of these system problems, failures, glitches have there been over that time?
You know, at first it was a little bit hard to tell. The system has had some various issues as it, you know, progresses with new technology. And so over, you know, several years, there have been different issues. But the issue that we're talking about now really dates back to the middle of 2016.
Okay, but do we have any idea during that most recent blackout, Sharon? Do we know how many people might have been affected who were trying to call in during that blackout in July? And I think it was the 18th, was it?
It was. So, you know, there have been at least 8 system-wide failures totaling 7 hours that that officials know about since June of 2016. But, you know, when we were doing some of the reporting, I think some of the scariest things were that in every instance, they didn't know how many people tried to call or who tried to call. And so those calls just kind of went out there. And so that was kind of the scary part.
Yeah. Jason, were they able to later track how many people called in, or did they ever get any idea of how many might have tried?
Yeah, we were able to get that information from Cincinnati Bell in regards to the number of calls that were attempted. One of the things that we do want to make sure we characterize is we didn't have a total system-wide outage of the 911 system. We're characterizing them more as service interruptions. So we work closely with Cincinnati Bell. They notify us within minutes of us having a problem with any piece of their equipment, and they start their technicians working on it quickly. But in the incident that that we're talking about now in particular, Cincinnati Bell gave us metrics that there were 80 incoming calls that were impacted, and we were able to get the number for each of those calls and make a call back during that 3-hour stretch of period. That's obviously not how we want 911 to work,
right.
and we're certainly not happy about that, but we were able to make sure that no citizen that attempted to call 911 didn't get a call back. And so we did get those metrics from Cincinnati Bell.
Chief, how does that work? If your call doesn't go through, what do you do?
You know, that's when our call takers, if a call is lost or disconnected in any way that comes through the 911 system, then our call takers will initiate a callback until they reach someone and find out if they're still in need of service or what actually is taking place.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, what is causing this problem? What has Cincinnati Bell had to say about this?
Well, they're really, you know, it goes down to a subcontractor. How the law works is Cincinnati Bell has to be part of this system. Federal regulations, you know, the Bell provider in your certain area. So Cincinnati is actually not alone. Cincinnati Bell helps out 14 jurisdictions with calls, and Cincinnati is not the only place that is having issues. I mean, we heard from other areas that have had similar, you know, times where calls weren't getting through. But, you know, Cincinnati Bell explained that this is with a subcontractor and, you know, the service the subcontractor is providing. But, you know, interestingly, the city really, you know, they stepped up and were like, well, you have to fix it. The answer wasn't good enough that it was like, well, this is a subcontractor and this is how it is, because these other jurisdictions are still using the same system with the subcontractor called ComTech. And yet Cincinnati, I mean, has been very proactive and is no longer using that.
Yeah, and I think ComTech's argument, Jason, was that the system, the city was using outdated software. And that was what was causing these problems. You want to address that?
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that we've taken back to Comtech as factually inaccurate. It's their software.
Okay.
So, so the Comtech system, and the way this all works is there's three layers, really, to 911 nationally. You've got your wireless service providers. It's Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile. They have to work together with the local Bell companies currently today. So that's what we phrase as the central office. So the wireless service provider, your Verizon phone, will send that call to the central office, which is, in our case here locally, Cincinnati Bell. And then Cincinnati Bell will forward that call to us. And that's where the Comtech system comes into play, because that's the software system that our dispatchers are sitting in front of to receive the call and to answer it and to process it. So we have that, we're dependent on Comtech for that. And Cincinnati Bell is actually hosting that system for us. We made that decision in 2009 to allow them to host that for us. And so Cincinnati Bell and Comtech are, in essence, our service provider for our 911 call-taking system. So the software, the call-taking system, it's all Comtech.
So Cincinnati Bell does talk about that, like the idea that it's Comtech, and they say all software, because there's many software providers, and we just happen to be going with Comtech at the moment, that all providers have a certain amount of uncertainty to them with the way technology works today.
Yeah, that's true. And as these issues started building up over the last year, first it was a Comtech network switch. Second was a Comtech database server failure. Third, it was a Comtech multiplexer card. And we started having month after month these issues. And it was one would last for 11 minutes and X amount of calls were interrupted. Another one was 20 minutes. Another one was 15. And so we were pushing aggressively on Cincinnati Bell all the way up to their executive levels. And they're reaching out to Comtech as well. But the problems just kept piling up. And so we weren't sitting on our hands dealing with these things. We were planning on exactly what we were going to need to do. And it just got to the point where we need to pull Comtech out and go to another vendor.
Hey, Chris, it sounds like... go ahead, Sherry.
Interestingly, the county uses a different provider. And when we spoke to the county officials about how the 911 system is going there, they reported having no problems and being very happy with the system they're using.
Yeah, Chris, it sounds like a lot of the difficulty in rectifying this is there are so many layers involved in fixing this.
Well, I mean, there are layers involved in fixing it, but our responsibility is that if someone has an emergency, whether it's a medical emergency or they're a crime committed against them, that they can feel confident that they can call 911 and someone's going to answer. And it's our responsibility, our job, to ensure that simple task happens. And so, you know, I know that the city administration is taking that serious, and we want to ensure that if you do have an emergency that you're connected to our first responders who will help you. But, you know, in the interim between right now and when we are 100% assured, you know, we do have to make the public know that there are some issues that we're dealing with and, you know, that there are other options that I've said that, you know, we have a non-emergency number that doesn't go through our 911 system that you can't get through, if it's one of these blackout periods, that you should consider calling that. Because, you know, if it's my mom who has a heart attack or a stroke, you know, I don't care about the semantics of, you know, Comtech or Cincinnati Bell. You know, I just want to reach
you just want it to work.
Right, exactly. So, you know, there's some frustration with, you know, of course we're doing everything behind the scenes to fix this, but in the interim, you know, there are other numbers, and just to give the non-emergency number, and I know that this isn't the ideal situation, right? But 513-765-1212, you know, because it could potentially be about the life and death of a loved one.
Yeah. Is that a good idea there, Chief?
You know, I understand what the councilman says, and I totally agree. You know, that is the primary, to get help when help is needed. You know, the best option is always going to be 911. You have to understand, if you choose to call the non-emergency number, you may reach a recording, and that also, if emergency calls come in, that call will be bumped further down in the queue, and the call taker may take even longer to get to you. I know some of the other things that have been discussed is also possibly calling one of the districts directly.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on which district you call, you may reach a phone tree where they ask you to choose an option on who you want to speak with, and there could be additional delays there. the best option is always going to be 911, and if at all possible, to remain on the line until someone does get to you.
Yeah. Chris, you had an experience, didn't you, with trying to reach 911.
Yeah, I mean, we came down, my partner's car, his truck had been broken into, the window shattered, and some expensive pieces of equipment that were stolen. And, you know, I called 911, what you're supposed to do, and it literally just rang for over 4 minutes. It didn't hit the voice message that says, stay on the line, someone will get to you. It literally just rang, and then after 4 minutes, just disconnected. So luckily, I was able to call the non-emergency number, and someone showed up about 15 minutes later. But, you know, after that experience, I talked to friends and just kept hearing over and over stories of people calling 911 and not being able to get connected. And so that's kind of what led to me reaching out to the city administration to say, what's going on here? And learning that, you know, they were aware of some problems and were working to fix them.
Sharon, is this a problem that's a national problem, though? Are there 911 systems going through similar situations?
You know, there really are. And with ComTech in particular, there have been some issues these companies service. No one's really like local and just services, one city. They're these big conglomerate companies with many, many contracts. And most of them are having problems. And some of them rise to the level of contracts being canceled for whole states, for, you know, big counties. We just take this very seriously, and it's the kind of thing that does rise to the level of, you know, public scrutiny, where you do see stories about it. Because when somebody isn't able to reach 911, that they're vocal about it. I mean, once we really started looking into it, we saw lots of Facebook posts about it, and people are concerned. They expect when you call 911 for someone to answer, and typically they expect someone to answer on the first ring.
Yeah, I think it's something that people take for granted, that it's going to work when they dial that. Mm-hmm. And they don't expect to run into problems with it. So when they do, it's a huge shock.
And we agree. They should have that expectation. That's why we exist. We're here for that reason. And we're equally concerned. There shouldn't be a situation. And I think that's why we're taking the steps that we're taking.
And we will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Here to discuss Cincinnati's 911 system failures and the city's plans for the system, our Police Chief Elliot Isaac, Cincinnati City Council Member Chris Seelbach, City of Cincinnati Department of Enterprise Technology Solutions Chief Information Officer Jason Dunn, and Cincinnati Enquirer Investigative Reporter Sharon Coolidge. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jason, how much of the problems that 911 systems face, how much of that is because of all the technology, the proliferation of the cell phone, and the fact that landlines are declining?
Yeah, a lot of it is the technology infrastructure that we're dealing with. The 911 system nationally is a legacy system. It was built way back in the day for landlines, and the Bell companies serviced all those landlines. But now we've got such a proliferation of cell phones where 90% of our 911 calls are coming from cell phones. And in homes, we have voice over IP phones. So there's the technology and the way that it is situated today is really not built for that. So the location of callers and where they're calling from, how calls are routing, depending on where a cell phone tower is, a person may be standing in Cincinnati, but the cell tower's in Hamilton County, it's going to go to their center. And so it's going to force a transfer back to us. So those types of issues really need a lot of attention nationally. And that's one of the things, in addition to what we've been doing with our service provider, Cincinnati Bell and ComTech, we've also been working with the FCC, as well as the National Emergency Number Association, to try to lobby heavier for better standards in terms of how the service providers work with the 911 centers.
Is there talk of maybe going to a more regional or a more statewide system than?
There is. So there's been a lot of talk nationally about what's being termed as ESINETs, Emergency Service IP Network. And it's really more of a statewide voice over IP architecture where all of the wireless service providers are plugging into a single point for an entire state. And then calls are routing intelligently to where they need to go. So it's truly IP-based, but there's a lot of legislation that has to go into that. There's an awful lot of funding issues to overcome as far as that goes. But the state of Ohio is already starting work on legislation and bids with vendors to see how we would build out an ESINet for Ohio.
513-419-7100, and Bill joins us now. Hi, Bill.
Yes, hello.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I was just actually calling for clarification. My understanding of 911 is that it should be used for a life-threatening type of a situation or maybe a crime in progress. I know the councilman mentioned his car was broken into. That if I had my car broken into, I didn't call 911 for that. So is 911 supposed to be used for emergency life-threatening?
Yeah, what are the guidelines?
Yeah, absolutely. That is really what 911 is designed for. And I think over the years we've provided education about how to properly use the 911 system. I think just over the years people have become accustomed to just the number they can remember when they need the fire or police is 911. But yes, we definitely encourage if it's not an emergency situation or a life-threatening situation that they call one of the non-emergency numbers.
But if someone doesn't have those non-emergency numbers, which I would think the average person doesn't.
We will come.
Right. Like the chief said, 911's an easy number to remember, and that's what's happened with it.
It happens, and you know we just need to continue to encourage people to use it correctly.
513-419-7100. Chip joins us now. Hi, Chip.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I was just calling because I turned on the radio and I heard this conversation, and it triggered a memory that I had back in early June. I was in the Hyde Park area driving around and was witnessing what I thought to be a potential heroin overdose, which is a clear epidemic in the city. And I tried calling 911, and it just, like Mr. Steelbach said, rang and rang and rang and rang and rang for about 2.5 minutes before I would finally hang up and try again. And after about 3 or 4 attempts to get through, I finally just, used my smartphone and looked up the direct line to District 2 and was able to get a hold of somebody, luckily, and didn't have to go through the phone tree that the chief was talking about. But they were able to finally patch me through and get a response. So I was really happy to hear that we're having a conversation about this in the city and that the issue is being addressed.
Yeah, it is being taken very seriously, isn't it, Jason?
And those situations are what are just unacceptable. I mean, 911 fundamentally is one of the most important services that a city provides to its citizens.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting that he mentions around the June timeframe, because that was one of the issues that we had. For 11 minutes, Cincinnati Bell reported to us that a switch failed in this ComTech network that sends us our calls, that we pay them to send us our calls. And there were delays in answering calls. Callers reported being stuck in a ringing pattern. Some callers got a busy signal. And that is 100% technology, and it's just unacceptable. They resolved it rather quickly, but anything can happen in 11 minutes. So one call being impacted is too many.
And just to follow up, because I think that what we haven't said is that we are ending the contract with ComTech and taking on the system
our own
self. So yeah, it's not just fixing the problem with ComTech, we're actually saying, we've worked with you, it's not working, we're going to do it ourselves the right way.
Well, Chris, I was going to ask if there's a risk of doing this because you're starting from square one if you do that, as opposed to trying to fix the problems that you're having with ComTech. But you're saying that you've been trying and that's just not going anywhere. Is that what you're telling
me? Right. The city administration, I think, has been working for about a year trying to resolve these issues. It's not being resolved, so we're taking it into our own hands. And I can't speak to the technology that the city is going to take on, but I'm sure that Jason can, and it's going to be better. As we know, it's the same as the counties, and the county's not having any problem.
Now, Janelle emailed, and she wanted to know, is there a difference between calling 911 from a landline and from a cell phone? I think that would be Jason's area.
There is. So when you dial 911, you're hitting a routing process that routes a 3-digit call differently than it routes a 7-digit call. And if she's got a landline, then Cincinnati Bell is sending that to us without coming across this problematic ComTech infrastructure. So that call is coming directly to us from Cincinnati Bell's equipment, not their vendor sub-partner's equipment.
Sherry, I wanted you to, if you want to weigh in on anything, go right ahead, because I don't mean to ignore you there since you're on the phone.
No, you're fine. I mean, it's interesting listening to the callers. I mean, we had so much email like after the story ran, with people telling stories. And I certainly, you know, I had stories that were similar to Chris's, and I had stories come in that were much more serious, like a break-in compared to a heroin overdose. And people didn't tend to see the difference, and I would never put my own opinion over what they were thinking at the time, because you just don't know how people are going to react when a crime is committed. And to some people, like, a car break-in is very serious, and, you know, they want to call 911, and they want someone to come because it's a violation of your property.
Yeah, I appreciate Sharon's comment on that, because what you may think is not an emergency might be.
Absolutely.
It may start at, so 911 needs to work. That's the message, and that's the pledge from the city that it is going to work, and we're going to have a system that works effectively in all situations, and we're going to reach our service goal.
513-419-7100, or you can email your questions to talk@wvxu.org. And Lamont joins us. Hi, Lamont. Hello, Lamont.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Hello to all your guests. I just heard your one caller called in about what happened to him back in June in Hyde Park, and I heard the gentleman say when all these issues was going on trying to be worked out was in June. Well, it's funny, just 3 weeks ago, because everything's on record, I was driving up Erie, where Erie runs right into Madison Road, where you're right at that little intersection, you're looking right across at Withrow High School. As I'm coming up Erie, I could tell it was a car sitting up there, and he hadn't went through the light, and the light had changed like a couple times since then. So I thought that was odd, and I turned around and went right back and looked in. This person seemed to be nod off. So, you know, with all these issues we have with people overdosing, I went ahead and I called 911, and right then and there, they were there. The police was there. The fire trucks, the fire station was there. And I just wanted to say that because I heard what he said about what happened in June. So apparently they must got the message, and it, you know, whatever's going on, it seemed to be like it's working because they were right there. You know, I stood there until they came. They got there, locked the guy, because at some point he revived. So I'm thinking that's what it was. I didn't know for sure what happened because I let them handle their business and step back and end up leaving. But yeah, the gentleman definitely got arrested, so I'm thinking that's probably what it was. He had overdosed, and once they got there trying to get in the car, he popped back up out of it.
But you got a quick response to your call, Lamont.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just say that in no way is this the fault when the system fails of our police officers or our firefighters. I mean, this is a technology problem. So, you know, we have the best departments in the country. Chief Isaacs is running with the best department in the country. This is no way fault of our officers.
Yeah. And that also brings up one of the things our technical people have shared with me. I know when people call and it just rings and rings and rings, there's that perception that it's ringing right into our dispatch center, and that their phone is just ringing and no one's answering it. Well, when in actuality, the call may not actually be connected. I know our cell phone providers, they provide a ring because that's kind of the expectation that people have as they wait, but in actuality, versus dead space. Hmm. They don't want to hear just dead space, so they provide a ring. That does not mean that the call has actually been connected through the tower and is actually ringing in the center.
So, Jason, the city's gotten the okay to break away from Cincinnati Bell, or they still have to stay with Cincinnati Bell because you have to have that traditional company. But they've gotten the okay to break away from Comtech. What's the time frame on that? When's all this going to happen? And what might the new system look like?
So we had the contract for the new system signed last week. So we're looking at a 12-week implementation process to replace Comtech, and we're going with a system that the county uses, West Communications. They're a national leader. Many of the larger metropolitan area cities are using West Communications, and so we're excited about that. It's a more stable platform. As Councilmember Seelbach brought out, we're going to bring the equipment back to our facility. It's not going to be hosted with Cincinnati Bell acting as a service provider managing it for us. This is something that we want to have city employees, our resources, managing day-to-day with Cincinnati Bell still as a partner to connect to the wireless providers. But it's going to improve tremendously. We're going to be introducing text to 911.
Which makes a lot of sense, actually.
It does. That will help with a lot of the calls that those non-emergency calls we talked about could just be a text message. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the best way it needs to go. So we're going to be looking at a next-generation 911 system, text-enabled, and we're going to be tethered to our partner, Hamilton County 911. So we're the two biggest 911 centers in the region. We process about 1 million calls annually. They're closer to about 600,000. And we throw about 40,000 calls between one another because of where someone's cell tower is. Mm-hmm. So we have to work together. We're going to have the same phone system. We're going to have the same computer-aided dispatch system. We share the same radio system. So we're going to be equipped to provide tremendous service here in Cincinnati and in Hamilton County for 911 going forward.
Okay, and how long might all this take?
So that's the challenging part for us. It's not like switching from DirecTV to to Spectrum or something like that.
And the challenge is all the layers of things you have to deal with, including the federal requirements. And
correct, yeah. So it's going to be about a 12-week implementation. And based on the current schedule we're working from now, with equipment being shipped, infrastructure being stood up, dispatchers being trained, all of the things that go into a huge project like this, we're looking at around mid-October, early November to have the new system in place.
And Sharon, go ahead. I heard you were starting to chime in there. Go right ahead.
You know, Cincinnati is lucky that it has the luxury to be able to do this. It has officials who are really on this. And it's my understanding like it's going to cost like $1 million in startup funds. And while Cincinnati's not exactly flush with cash, there is $1 million when it's something this critical. But we are talking, Amberley has the old system, Boone County, Campbell County, the airport uses it. You know, other jurisdictions are still on this old system, but Cincinnati is able to make this change.
And thanks to all of you for joining us this afternoon. Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac, Cincinnati Council Member Chris Seelbach, City of Cincinnati Department of Enterprise Technology Solutions Chief Information Officer Jason Dunn, and Cincinnati Inquirer Investigative Reporter Sharon Coolidge. Coming up, the story of the 1960s Freedom Rides. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.